And good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk this morning. My name's Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Beautiful, bright, sunny day finally.
Yep. And our guest this morning is John Burns. John is a SCORE mentor with the Fox City SCORE chapter. He joined our chapter about 7 months ago. John has a very interesting background, and we're going to be talking about some strategies about how to acquire a business or how to sell a business during the show. So stay tuned, and if you have any questions, we'll be giving out the phone numbers. You'll be able to call in and ask John some questions. But in the meantime, and for the moment, we want to tell you a little bit about the SCORE chapter. A SCORE chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber Building in downtown Appleton. We are about 40 mentors. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac. We service an 8-county area, and we provide a free consulting or counseling mentoring service to those who would like to start a business or those who are in business and would like to grow their business or solve a problem or take advantage of an opportunity. Our SCORE mentors have disciplines in marketing, IT, HR, manufacturing, strategic planning, banking, cash flow, and an array of other services, and it's all free, and we will work together to help you succeed in your business. We also provide a number of seminars. We put on little training educational things during the year. Randy, tell us about the Simple Steps program that's coming up in May.
Right. We're going to be starting a 5-step program in May. For those of you who are thinking about starting a business or who have been in business for a while and want to answer some of the questions and problems that you've run into, the program starts as of May 16th. That is a Thursday morning. It'll be held at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop in downtown Appleton. Runs from 8 o'clock until 12:30. It's a $25 session, and the nice part about it is it includes breakfast, coffee, and lunch as well. And then we will have 4 additional specialized sessions after that. They will be in June. They will be on Wednesday evenings from 6 until 9, and those sessions will cover all of the different areas of business. They'll include basic concepts, how to set my business up, LLC, sole proprietorship, that type of thing. We also go into a marketing plan. That area, covering
social
things,
networking,
absolutely, social media, all of the things in that area. Then we do a financial projection session, which is well worth it. It includes a CD that has all of the necessary documents that you would use for financial projections, cash flow, profit and loss, income and expense statements, all the type of things for a business, and you can then translate these into your own business.
Right.
So it's a super piece of equipment.
Yeah, we do a case study.
Yes.
And then the business owner can put their own numbers in using that model. It's very
right.
powerful.
Right. And then the last session, which would be on the 26th of June, is where do I find the money? We actually get some experts coming in. We have some bankers that come in and talk to us. What's going on as far as conventional lending? But then we also take a look at the other types of lending that are out there, either equity financing, things like crowdfunding, mm-hmm. All of the different areas that you can use to be creative in helping you solve your lending needs.
Yep.
So each of the sessions is $25. The easiest way to do this is just go out to the website, which is foxcities.score.org. Click on the registration area there and sign up for the program. So
right.
Coming up, it's a great session for anybody who's thinking about starting a business.
Mm-hmm. And Randy, we also have some information on the veterans program, right?
Yes. Those of you who are veterans and are interested in taking part in any of these programs, all you have to do is go out to score.org, which is the national website. There is a program. It's called the Veterans Fast Launch Program. Go out there. You can get a certificate that authorizes you to attend any and all of the sessions for free. So all you need to do would be to contact the SCORE office and let them know that you want to attend as a veteran. And we'll get you all registered that way.
Those are very good programs. That Simple Steps program is very comprehensive. It's intended for those folks who are starting a business. And the first session delves into the things that business owners might need to consider if they're thinking of going into business. But actually, even for people who have been in business for a number of years, it's a great review. There's additional information, especially on the marketing side, on the financial side, and where to find the money, and social networking. Those are all things that we always have to sharpen our, keep the edge sharp all the time. Stay sharp on that.
Absolutely. There's a lot to be learned and a lot of things. What we try to do is ask you the questions you haven't asked yourself yet.
Right. So everybody walks away with a good piece of knowledge, and they also learn how to apply this knowledge in their business. That's what SCORE tries to do, is help the client apply the knowledge that they're learning about their business, whatever area of expertise that might be. Well, we'd also like to thank our sponsors. The program is brought to you each weekend by several sponsors. We appreciate their support at the SCORE chapter and for BizTalk. They include the Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Epiphany Law, located in Appleton, a business law boutique. We'd also like to thank eBiz Results in Oshkosh for helping to develop our website, biztalkwithscore.com, and helping to keep us sharp. Randy is taking the lead on the technology side, but they help us keep that website functioning properly. And also we want to thank the Business News, Jerry Mader and Larry Dash at the Business News, for helping to promote our program and their biweekly newspaper, The Business News. If you're in business and you're not subscribed to the Business News for $20 a year, you really should be, because it does bring you a lot of helpful information that will help your business to succeed. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll begin our program and our conversation with John Burns of the SCORE chapter. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Welcome back to BizTalk this morning. Tony Bush and Randy Melzer in the studio. We have a guest this morning, Mr. John Burns. John is a very experienced business owner and businessman, and he's been a member of our SCORE chapter since September of 2012. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show this morning, and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
My background is that in 2001, the immediate background, I guess. In 2001, I bought a trucking company that specialized in expedited freight running nationwide. Mm-hmm. And it was largely smaller trucks, cars, vans, that type of thing. And I expanded it into a full-service logistics company. Mm. And then after, I forget exact number of years, but in 2008, I sold the company. And then I'm now retired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you purchased that company, you were telling us off air that you purchased it with a purpose. What was that purpose?
Well, my purpose was, or I guess my motivation, you could say, is for 35 years I had worked for others, from Fortune 500 companies to family-owned regional companies, and I wanted to finish my career by owning and operating my own business, utilizing all that I had learned over that period of time. The other factor was is that I was 55 at the time, and I wanted to retire by the age of 62. I felt that that time span did not leave me enough time to complete the goals that I wanted to complete. And also, by acquiring that current business, I got a knowledgeable staff. I got a business structure already set up. Permits were in place, established mm-hmm. customer base, and other items. Mm-hmm. So it shortened up that time span for me by buying that business.
That sounds an awful lot like a checklist that you'd use as to why I would buy a business as opposed to start it up myself.
Right, and actually that checklist, even if you're not 55, if you're considering buying a business or looking at it as an alternative to starting from scratch, that same checklist works pretty well.
Okay.
John, you bought that business with the purpose of selling it.
Yes, that's correct.
That was an investment in your retirement, and you had a plan because it was already going, and as Randy mentioned, you didn't have the startup costs associated with going into business. It was already going. You added value by adding diversification and new services to that business, and then you sold it. You started from day one with the idea you're going to sell it.
Right, exactly. All the things that I looked at in order to buy the business, I needed to ensure were in place when I wanted to turn around and sell it.
So if I'm going to be looking at doing that, thinking about buying a business, what kind of recommendation would you make to me to look for? What should I think about? What should I be aware of?
Well, there's recommendations, and I guess this is true of whether you're going to start a business or buy a business. And one of the first ones is figure out what your special strengths and abilities are okay. that would help that business succeed. You need to do a thorough, unbiased business plan
okay.
and market evaluation. You have to prove it to yourself as well as to anybody else whether it's actually financially viable. You should try not to sugarcoat it just because the idea is attractive to you.
Okay.
You need to be willing to put in the work both before and after you start. And then one of the final things is you need to treat your business plan as an organic document to refer to it along the way so that you can make changes, because everything changes. In fact, I think Randy said prior to the show here that about a minute after you start the business, something's going to change. Mm. And I can attest to that being true.
So you got to be flexible and willing to bounce with the program.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, the business plan is extremely dynamic, but it's something that guides you. And the value I've found from talking to business owners as they put their business plans together is while they're sitting in their planning session, they're getting really good ideas and good things are coming to them. They want to write those down, refine them, because in the daily action of the business, you're going to tend to forget some of that information. But you can refer back to what your business plan.
Yeah, in fact, the business plan, what a lot of people do, I found, is tend to put it away.
Right.
They use it to secure their bank loan and to convince their wife that it might work and those kind of things. But in reality, you need to revisit that all the time. Now, in my business, we looked at it weekly. From a cash flow perspective, we looked at it daily.
Mm-hmm.
We ran all the numbers on a monthly basis. And the whole idea is if you only look at it once or you only look at it at the end of the year, how do you ever decide when you're off course and what you need to do to get back on course?
And that's what you meant when you said it has to be an organic program. The business plan has to be an organic business plan that you can watch it grow and play with it as it goes along?
Yep, that's
okay.
Exactly the case.
Okay.
John, your point about paying attention to the cash flow every day and looking at that receivables and the payables every day is very important, because as the business owner is more familiar with the cash flow, when they come to make their business decisions, they have a better intuitive understanding of the impact of that decision on the cash flow of the company if they are very familiar with their cash flow. Looking at it once a year doesn't do the trick.
Right, and it's critical if you're going to grow. Now, that's true of an existing business that you'd buy or a business that you would start, because cash flow is what allows you to grow. Profitability is great, but you can be profitable and not have enough cash to fund your daily operations.
You just got Tony's eyes to light up again. That's his one of
well,
his
I
favorite
always,
subjects.
I always say cash flow generates profit. Profit doesn't always generate cash
right,
flow.
Right, absolutely.
And it's very important, and John can attest to that, that business owners understand that difference. The business plan will help them to make those right decisions to generate the cash flow to be successful. Now, does growth cost money?
Growth always costs money.
You've got more labor involved? You've got
Depending upon the kind of business, let's say the one that I had as a trucking company, growth meant more equipment, more drivers. One of the things that people don't think about is growth means more customers or more revenue with a given customer, but that translates into receivables.
Mm-hmm.
So if your receivables get out of hand, that's going to hurt you, or it's going to hurt your cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where growth is really critical, to understand where it's coming from and plan for it.
Budgets are helpful to ward against that, knowing what your budget is supposed to be every month.
Yeah, exactly. You really need to know where you're going, and if you want to grow, if you're a small company and want to take on a large account, you have to consider how you're going to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not going to pay you for 30 days or 45 days, and in the meantime you're paying for, in my case, fuel, drivers, and all the things that go with it, insurance, okay, how am I going to fund that additional business?
Okay. So you have to have that in your plan. One of the terms you used, or things that you said when you were talking about doing your business plan, was the idea of having it being unbiased. What do you mean by that? What do people do that's not, quote, unbiased when they're planning?
Well, I guess I would call it magical thinking or wishful thinking.
Okay.
And what you're doing is they get into this, how much business can I get, you know, how successful I'm going to be, I'm going to do all these things, but they don't really look at the reality of what's a reasonable expectation. Can I go from zero to literally 100 miles an hour in 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
No,
okay.
You have to be realistic about how fast you can grow it and what it's going to take to grow it. So it's easy to fall in love with the concept, making it work is much, much harder.
Yeah, we walk into that all the time where you ask the customer, you know, have the client and score, you know, what is your market, your target market? And they look at me and say, everybody. My product is so wonderful, everybody's going to want to buy it. That's a little wishful thinking, I think.
Right.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll certainly give out the phone numbers, and you'll have the opportunity to call John with some questions about business transitions and acquisition and selling. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And we're back this morning. We're talking with Mr. John Burns, who is a SCORE mentor with the Fox City SCORE chapter. John has been with the chapter since September of 2012 and has a very deep experience background in trucking industry, and he's been involved in acquisitions and selling, and he actually bought his own company, he's sharing with us this morning some thoughts and strategies about how to do those acquisitions and make them successful. If you have any questions for John this morning, please give us a call. You can reach us at 281-1150 in Appleton. And if you're outside the Appleton area, you can call us on the TDS Metricom toll-free line at 1-866-887-1150. John, before the break, we were talking about the strategy, and you mentioned a number of steps, a number of things to, like a checklist. Let's delve down into that a little bit. You want to explore the one of those steps that you mentioned? Repeat the step, and then delve into it a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's a number of things that you take a look at. Number one is reviewing the current financials of that business. Number two is to construct a business plan / forecast to look forward for 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. and incorporate all the new costs and revenues in it, you know, that you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. Right. And, of course, one of those is you're going to have to pay out the previous owner.
Right.
So you have to incorporate in that into it and make sure the business will support it.
Right.
Credit rating of the current business is crucial. One of the things you're buying that makes it important is a good credit rating, so you need to really check that carefully.
John, where do you find a credit rating on a company?
There's a number of sources. One of the problems is unless you have a access to those sources as a normal credit giver,
right?
You don't have access, but what I utilize myself is my banking sources.
Bingo.
And
okay.
have them, they are very willing to check it out for
they
you.
They are.
Another thing I looked at, or you should look at, is your current customer base, the makeup of the customer base, the size of it, and their satisfaction level. You want happy customers.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to take a critical look at revenue concentration among the current customers.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if they've got 10 accounts and one of them accounts mm-hmm. for 90% of the revenue, that's a problem,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that you need to address.
That's the old 80-20 rule that you have to be careful of, that 80% of your income comes from 20% of your customers and vice versa?
Yeah, exactly, and that's a real problem.
Okay.
Then finally, it's a matter of preparing the various agreements, the purchase agreements, non-compete, and all those sorts of things. And that's where you need to go to the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
What you should do to prepare to go to the attorney is know what you want before you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the attorney, it'll make that visit much more productive.
It'll take fewer hours.
It'll take fewer hours, exactly.
Yeah, save you a lot of money that way.
Right.
I think in any time we use an attorney in business environment, your point is very valid. Know what you want to do if you're going to talk to someone else about buying an asset or a business. Make your deal on a handshake or something. It's not binding at that point, but just get the terms and conditions outlined and then make it legal. Make sure that you're not in violation of any laws. Let the attorney make the deal legal, but you have to make the deal.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. John, one of the things that you mentioned while we were talking about this before is the time frame to get to know the existing business and know the existing owner. Could you kind of tell us a little bit more about why you need to know what they are like, what they did, and how they succeeded?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is if you do the buyout properly, and by properly I mean the owner would stay on for, say, 1 to 3 years, in that period of time going to teach you the things you don't know and help you transition into the business. Well, if you're going to do that, you better like the person.
Ah, okay.
Or at least you need to respect them and understand that they operate in a way that's compatible with you.
Okay.
That's, I guess, probably the biggest one.
What about, not only just the owner and so on, but you're going to have to work with that staff as well.
Yeah, you want to be real sure of how they do things. In other words, take a look at the office, see how they interact with each other. And as a customer, see how they handle customers. And sometimes that requires you being a customer to that business.
Mm-hmm.
And many times before I would even look at a business, I wanted to see what that relationship was like.
Okay.
So I would be a customer. I would go into the store. I'd have requests. I'd buy things from them. I wanted to see how they handle their customers.
Okay. So you get a real good feel for the inside of the business as well as the outside.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Okay.
In terms of the customer base, you're also looking at, as you mentioned, to diversification. Now, I had a trucking client a number of years ago that 75% of their sales were to one company. And they got into a little bit of a bind because they hadn't set a rate increase for 3 years because they didn't want to lose that customer. So they finally went to the customer and they said, we have to put in a rate increase. And this was also when fuel was going up. So they also talked about a fuel surcharge. And the customer said to them, they wanted a 10% rate increase. And the customer said, I can give you 8. But from now on, come to me every year. Don't wait 3 years. I can't get 10% through my committee, but I can do an annual step for you. That's a perfect illustration, I think, of a concentration. If that company had left, that trucking company would have disappeared.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, the company I had bought, one of the reasons I was able to buy them is they had lost their largest account, which had consisted of about 60% of their business.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Now, bad news for them. The good news for me is I was able to buy the company at a fraction of what it would have been worth prior to that, and I had a plan to change that, to expand that customer base and limit the concentration.
Were you able to get the departing customer back in?
Partially.
Just partially?
Mm-hmm.
What I was able to do is to solidify other customers that filled in that void. And, in fact, within a year and a half, we had recovered the revenue back to the level that it was with that customer. But instead of one customer accounting for 60% of the business, it took 10 customers to get to 50%.
Okay. And that was dilution. You successfully diluted the concentration without losing the volume. You just grew the other parts of the company.
Right. We grew the other parts of the company, and we grew business with minor accounts. The tendency sometimes is to, because it's the big account, you spend all your time there and to the detriment of the smaller accounts. Well, what we focused on was all the accounts, and that's how we were able to modify that.
And again, that was all part of the plan that you had when you were buying, before you bought the business, that you understood that that was what you were going to do, or did that kind of morph into that reality?
No, in fact, that's what I'd always done. Any of the acquisitions I had done over the years or had been part of, that was always the process. It seems that most businesses existing are too high a concentration in a couple of accounts.
Right. Okay.
Now, the issue is you don't get rid of one because your concentration's too high.
Exactly right.
You build around it so that it doesn't have the impact.
Okay.
You basically reduce that 60 to a 30 by bringing on new business.
Exactly.
John, you mentioned in your comments about getting to know the seller and understanding and keeping the seller on staff for 1 to 3 years. You also mentioned before the show a strategy to effect that with installment payments. Can you explain that a little bit?
Right. When somebody's selling a business, you know, at first blush, they think, well, I'm going to get this chunk of money, and it's all going to come in the form of cash, and I'm going to head off to Barbados or somewhere like that. Well, the reality is, if you're buying a business, you need that owner to be involved in the business from, say, I would say a minimum of 1 year. I really like to see 3 years. And it would be a step down. It might be full-time for 6 months, and then you would step it down from there. The other thing I like to do, or to me it's critical and absolute, is to have a timed buyout. So in other words, instead of that big check up front, the check or the money will get paid out for the business over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending upon what's acceptable to the seller, And also what's really acceptable to the cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
You can only pay it out as fast as cash flow will allow you to do that.
That's right.
At least I would have it no shorter than the amount of time that the person is going to stay.
Okay.
You would also generally have a non-compete. So what would happen then is you're going to be doing your payout while they're helping you and also while they're under the non-compete.
Right.
And it's a little added incentive to make sure you succeed.
Okay.
Now, during all of this acquisition stuff or buying a business, there's really no set rule to buying a business. There are good common sense principles to follow, but anything can be negotiated, right?
Right. Yeah, technically anything could be.
It should be legal. It should follow common sense, but things can be negotiated, like the term of a non-compete or the term of the owner staying on, the price itself. Anything can be negotiated.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing that you shouldn't negotiate is to not write it down.
Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo.
Yeah. One of the other thing reasons to delay that payout or make that thing over a period of time for the seller's side is to stop and think about some of the tax consequences. If you take the payouts over a period of time, you can spread that tax consequence across the boards rather than taking that happy little hit all in 1 year. So, and that's a possible point in when you're negotiating.
Yes, it is. In fact, rarely should the negotiations be one way. Because when you're finished, both have to feel that they won.
That's right.
Okay, good.
It's a win-win arrangement, and it pays big dividends. If you have a question for John about acquiring a company or selling a company, give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150, or call us on the TDS Metricom toll-free line at 1-866-887-1150.
Okay, Tony, if I could, you just gave me a quick lead in there. I'd like to just do a quick promotion, if I could. Speaking of winning, we have a author in the group as far as score is concerned, Mr. Mao Nguyen, who wrote the book Winning Ways for Life. And I just want to take a minute to remind people that Mr. Nguyen is going to be doing a presentation as part of the book festival here in Appleton. It's going to be on April 22nd at the Public Library in Appleton from 4 to 6 p.m. You can meet the author and learn a little bit about Mr. Nguyen's program as far as Winning Ways for Life. I'd recommend it for anybody who's looking at investing and looking at long-term things, but and also get a chance to meet the author.
Thanks, Randy. We have a caller on line one. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
You have a question for our guest?
I have a question for John. John, what process did you go through to determine the fair market value of the business that you purchased?
Well, each business actually has a method that you would use, and typically it's going to be, for all businesses, I guess, it would be any physical assets that you're going to buy. You would have to get those appraised. The seller is going to have an idea what they'd like. You have an idea what you're going to pay, but normally you would agree to go with probably two appraisals. Also, there's typically what's figured as a multiple where you would pay, it's worth a multiple of what the earnings are. For example, the kind of business that I bought in transportation, normally it's about 3x earnings. And you would take that 3x earnings over a 3-year period. And once you add that up, that should tell you what the base of the business is worth. How can I explain this? Other than those physical assets.
Right.
So in other words, in my case, other than trucks and equipment and those sorts of things, 3x earnings.
Okay.
But it's different.
You're saying that 3x could be different for, let's say, retail business.
Exactly. Each business is different based on...
they have a different multiple based on the industry statistics and performance of each industry. Yep.
Where would you find that multiple? From what source?
I think one source would be to talk to the bank. They track a lot of that information by industry. Another place is go to the D&B. They might have some industry information on multiples. Go to different associations. If you're going to be buying a trucking company, there are probably some trucking brokers who will tell you what the multiples are. It takes a little bit of detective work, but Tom, that's a great point about the multiple. And John, are you talking about the EBITDA, the earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization?
Right. Right.
Yeah, because that takes a lot of the pure, that's just pure operating earnings right there.
Right.
Because people can be in different tax brackets, and that affects taxes and depreciation.
Right.
Not only that, but it has an impact on cash flow. So you want to
big time
take those items out.
And by doing the multiple, I believe like 10 years ago, I think newspapers are going at a multiple of 13. Well, that is looking at the cash flow of the company. So if they're going to charge $1 million to buy the company, how long does it take the investor to get the $1 million back that comes back from cash flow?
Right. Gentlemen, thank you much.
Thank you, Tom. Good call.
Okay. Yeah, one additional item in that regard is when you're doing that or deciding upon what that purchase price should be, before you give them a purchase price for what you're willing to bid, you need to do the business plan, because you need to know if that price is going to support cash flow and everything is going to support that price.
Right.
That's a big point. You don't want to buy a car you can't afford.
Right.
A big payment and a lot of gas.
Absolutely.
John, one other question for you. You referred to this earlier, put it in writing, but I think that's very critical because everybody reads the same negotiation out at one point.
Right.
And you need legal counsel to help with that.
Yeah, you can. What you should do is rough it out. It's the kind of thing that you're going to rough out with your seller. And then you need to take it to legal, and then they will translate it into the legal language. But part of the thing is you want to pick an attorney that's done business transitions before, and you want them to write it not in legalese, but in understandable human language.
Okay.
And maybe an attorney in that industry. What that industry experience.
That helps if you can find it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things that when Tom called, I thought he might get into, and this could be a longer part. We might have to come back to it a little bit, but the idea of the person who says, "Well, I've got all of this goodwill. I've got all of this, the personal value of the business that's there that isn't tangible." How do you treat that in the negotiation as far as cost and value? You know, you're buying my goodwill.
That's probably the hardest part. One of the things is, let's say, for example, your goodwill is your customer base.
Right.
Basically, okay. But if, let's say, 80% of your business is with one account, that devalues that goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
much is it worth when I can lose 80% of my business all in one time?
Right.
So that's part of your process. There's no scientific way that that gets evaluated. But it should be a consideration that you make.
Okay.
If this account goes away, what does that happen to my business, my cash flows, and everything else? And if it takes you out, I've seen it take businesses out.
So. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's just too much.
So, yeah, know ahead what you're going to do.
We're going to take our last break right now. We'll come back on the other side and continue our conversation with John Burns. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to our final segment this morning. We're talking with John Burns, who's the SCORE mentor since September of 2012. And John has got a great deal of experience in the trucking industry and in acquiring companies. He even bought one himself. And he's been sharing with us some very valuable information this morning about things to look for in doing your due diligence as a buyer. John, when we ended the last segment, you had some great points. I'd like to ask you a couple questions. First, what is a general timeline for how long this process might take? And I know every deal is going to be different. And then can you share with the audience how you've used that experience that you've developed in working as a SCORE mentor with SCORE clients?
Now, the timeline typically is once you're actually in play, that the buyer says or the seller says, "I would really like to consider selling my business," and you'd say, "Well, I'd really like to take a look at it." It's about 6 months from start to finish that takes. On the other question, I think the things that I give SCORE, and not just myself but all the other SCORE mentors, is we share the experience we've had and we get a chance to give you the unbiased questions, the things that we have found that you need to know, whether it's buying a business. Most of the SCORE mentors, if they didn't buy a business at some point in their career, they've sold businesses or they've sold a business to retire. So they've gone through a lot of those issues from both the buyer and the seller. And again, that unbiased opinion, and unbiased look at things, we're not going to have the rose-colored glasses on. And I think as a person that wants to start a business, I think that's what you want. You want somebody to look at it that doesn't have an axe to grind, doesn't have, they're not trying to sell you something, you know. So to me, and that's one of the reasons I joined SCORE, is I wanted to be able to do that.
Now, the thing that you talked about this morning, we talked about a formula, the checklist you have. And folks who are listening to the program this morning can come back and listen to it again because it's going to be archived on biztalkwithscore.com
right
about the middle of the week.
Right.
That formula fits other industries. It's not just the trucking company. We talked a lot about your experience in trucking, but if we're buying a landscape company or a plumbing company or anything, a printing company, the formula is pretty much the same. The process is the same.
Right. That's exactly the case. It's, for example, if you were going to be a world-class chef, what you do to cook something, the process that you go through is the same. You may end up with different ingredients and a different outcome, but it's the process that you follow.
Okay. Well, that brings us around, John, to the ever-popular part of the show where we ask you to come up with a biz tip for our audience, things that they should be thinking about when they're getting in or getting out of business. So could you give us what your biz tip for the day would be?
I would say the biggest tip that I can give is rely on your professional team. Pick a good attorney, pick a banker, and pick an accountant. And what you want to do is pick people that are business-oriented. You want to pick people that will listen and pick people that will try to see it as to what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay. That's a great biz tip, John. And people ask me, how do you pick your banker? And I tell them, well, the rate's important and the collateral package is important and so on. How do you pick your attorney or your accountant? And I tell them, you have to have that relationship with them. You have to feel like they really care about you. And you feel it in your gut if you're connected with someone, and you got to have that connection.
Right, and if it isn't right, you shouldn't be afraid to change. Just because you had a personal attorney that did your dad's will and all those kind of things, yeah, that's great. He might be a family friend. May not be the right person for your business.
Right. Well, thank you very much, John, this morning. It was a great show, and thank you very much for sharing your experiences with the audience and on Biz Talk.
Okay, great to be here.
Right.
Real quickly, Wynn's coming. You want to plug Wynn again?
Wynn's going to be at the Appleton Public Library on Monday night from 4 until 6 in Room C. So if you want to meet the author of the Winning Ways for Life book, yes, it's a perfect opportunity.
Thanks, Randy. You've been listening to Biz Talk this morning on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.